This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys here on the DraftKings Network. We appreciate everybody on the DraftKings Network. You can go ahead and check us out on Samsung TV Plus and DraftKingsNetwork.com. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino, and Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick, and a national champion with the Colorado Buffs in the early 90s. Gentlemen, for a fun first hour that we had, now this second hour, we're going to call this obviously the football hour. It's probably right. The football 2 hours, but this particularly is our football Friday hour. You look like you're in shock.
I had a VSiN subscriber, one of our what do they call them, P1s, who just texted me. He said, "You seem genuinely excited to have joined the Coach Prime Appreciation Hour this morning, Mike."
I tell you what, there's a lot of people joining that, though.
That's what I'm saying.
It is phenomenal. I mean, to turn around a program. I'm going to say turn around a program, but to put the program on this track so quickly is unheard of.
Yeah.
And it's a compelling story. And so from a betting standpoint, there's some people that want to get on that train, and there's some people that are not buying it, right?
The non-believers.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. The non-believers. The Ed Warders of the world.
Yeah, he takes it personally, but hey, I mean, if you're in it like that, you might as well, you know. Yeah. It's a passionate thing for him. But let's talk a little bit of NFL. Obviously, we'll have all Saturday to discuss Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes taking on the Nebraska Cornhuskers. But in the National Football League, we were discussing this actually during the break, and I 100% agree with you, Mike, here is that the game I'm most looking forward to seeing tomorrow, even of the entire week one slate, is San Francisco and Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. I think that game has a chance to be a potential war, two really physical teams. And looking at the betting market right now, you see the Niners, 2.5-point favorites, the total sitting at 41.5. But where we're sitting at Circa, it's down to 2. I think a lot of people, once Bosa signed his extension and ended the holdout, expected maybe we would see Niners 3. In fact, it's going the opposite direction. The market is really hot here on the Steelers.
Well, I mean, people are hot on the offseason and the acquisition. I know Michael Lombardi said you could argue they had the best offseason from Super Bowl to Game 1, mm-hmm. Which is a compelling argument. We see some Tomlin for Coach of the Year money here. And I think Kenny Pickett has a lot of positive signs, right? And that year one to year two uplift and improvement for a player. A West Coast team traveling east. Mm-hmm. Playing in the Eastern time zone's a factor. Purdy coming back off of serious injury, right? I mean, so this game has a lot of unknown factors, talking about college football, that I think makes it the most compelling game, the most question marks that we might get answered on week one.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, Michael. You know, the thing about Pittsburgh, T.J. Watt and Highsmith, that's an underrated pass-rushing duo. We're going to hear a lot about Hargrave. We're going to hear a lot about Bosa, certainly. Bosa's probably going to have about 20 snaps, I think, in this game. And we'll see how he'll perform having missed training camp. But to me, this is all about Matt Canada, offense coordinator of Pittsburgh. Will he open up the playbook? Now, we saw a little bit of that in the preseason. But when you have Johnson and Pickens and Allen Robinson and all these receivers out there for Kenny Pickett, along with the running game, we know they're going to be tough. If Canada can open up this passing attack and trust his quarterback, this could be one of those games that everybody's going to be talking about after his plate, right? Mm-hmm. I think defensively, both teams are going to get after it. A new defense coordinator situation for San Francisco. I don't think they're going to miss a ton from D'Amico to Wilkes, but they're going to fly around. But if Pittsburgh can just break out of that mold where they want to be so conservative and just run the ball and do play action and be predictable, if they can break that, this one gets very, very interesting if you want to back the Steelers.
You know, there's an interesting angle before we get your thoughts, Femi, about the team the week after you play San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I believe last year that teams were 3-14 against the spread the week after you played the 49ers, who beat you up in that game. I know they're part of the dual Monday night package in week two that we're hosting. the Browns that we've talked about. But take a look at that angle as well, folks.
Yeah, that could be something to keep in mind for week number two there. I think the Seahawks had that angle as well during their heyday. The 2013, 2014, it's like if you played the Seahawks and then the next week you were like guaranteed to lose because they would just kind of beat you up physically there. But yeah, I can't wait for the game. I don't have a bet in the game, but if I leaned anywhere which direction, it would be with Pittsburgh because I do think we're going to see them open this thing up. There's just it's hard to take away too much from the preseason, but just taking away a little bit, we saw Pickett throwing the ball down the field a little bit more. And George Pickens, he didn't go in the first round. It wasn't because of talent. Mm. It was other stuff. But as a talent, he is ridiculously good. And some of the catches that he can make, I think Pittsburgh's offense is ready to kind of take off. And then if they have the defense to close it out and make life kind of difficult for Brock Purdy, maybe they can go ahead and quote-unquote upset the 49ers in this spot.
Here. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Brock Purdy, a phenomenal year last year. You know, the question is, can he duplicate it or even exceed it, right? Because that's the difference between a professional athlete. It's like everybody's going to have a flash in the pan. Everybody's going to play well. But can you understand what it takes to evolve? And can you do you have what it takes to get better? And that's the only question I have about Brock. Can he play? Yeah, he can play. But can he also evolve? Because now there's tendencies out there, right? What, five starts? There's tendencies out there. And then certainly a coach like Tomlin and that staff, they're going to dissect all that and certainly try to make things difficult for the young quarterback.
I think you make a great point about how does he evolve, because he had a ton of starts at Iowa State, which was an advantage for him last year. Mm-hmm. That advantage becomes less as these other quarterbacks get more starts under their belt. So he's going to have to improve. As you say, they get tape on somebody. So I know they're very high. The betting market's high on them. I mean, basically here co-favorites with the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl when the Eagles, you know, beat them. And I know he was injured, but beat them rather handily last year and had a terrific season. Of course, they have to replace seven starters and both coordinators as well. But I'm very interested to see the quarterback play from both of them. I have one other question for Pritch here.
Yeah.
Do you think the wide receiver position is the easiest to evaluate in an NFL draft?
You know what? I wouldn't say the easiest to evaluate, but it's the position that grows the most, or they take leaps forward. So you can have a mid-rounder, right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden that mid-rounder turns into an all-pro because of that position, the nature of that position. As far as the evaluation, you know, the thing about wide receiver and what separates them is obviously the ability, the intangibles, I think, more so than, okay, he runs a 4.2, right? And I think if you're 6'3 and you can run, you better have a really good wide receiver coach, because all you have to do is hone in on some skills and you can be an all-pro. You're going to get thrown the football repeatedly. So for me, the impact that wide receiver is taken from year one to year two. And George Pickens, I mean, he has a chance to take that step as long as Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, helps him along the way, though.
Yeah, he's the big question mark for this Pittsburgh Steelers offense, along with Kenny Pickett. Like, Kenny Pickett played much better in the second half of last season, but we still need to see him kind of continue to grow as well. But so far, throughout this offseason, the preseason, the signs have looked pretty good for him. Let's talk about some young wide receivers who are going to be playing in this upcoming game between the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. Packers could have a cluster injury situation. Yeah. I know Romeo Doubs went back to practice yesterday, so it sounds like he should be good to go. But Christian Watson missed practice on Wednesday and on Thursday. And you talk about now Jordan Love being now the face of the franchise for this Green Bay Packers team as the week one starter. How does that kind of affect the handicap for you here, Pritch, when you have a week one starter who has not been this guy ever in his career, and now he might be missing his top target in a Christian Watson?
I mean, it's not going to raise any doubt concerns if you're Love. To me, it's all about LaFleur and how he handles Love. So Love as a quarterback and playing right now, even if guys are banged up, they're not able to go, how is LaFleur going to help out Love, right? Because Love, he's going to start playing well, he's going to do great things, and then he's going to know it all. And that typically what happens to a young quarterback. Can you dial that back? Can you rein him back in? Will Love remain coachable and not be that type of player? So I know it all, coach. I got it. We're good. So how LaFleur handles that is everything for the growth of this player. The players that he's going to be out there with, he's got enough playmakers, I believe, to get the job done. But certainly you would love to have Watson. He's a James Lofton type of player, you know, a deep threat, a strider. You would love to have somebody like that, right? Mm-hmm. That can get deep and do all those things. But if he's not out there, you know, a controlled passing game, I think Love should be able to handle that.
E.J. Jefferson and James Lofton, right? They, growing up, watching them for the Packers. Mm-hmm. Rich, is there anything to the theory that there could be a lift for Packers offensive players with Rodgers actually leaving and some stress taken off of them?
A lot of stress taken out, right? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we see in Aaron this year on Hard Knocks, opposite last year. I mean, he was crushing those young players. Yeah. And that wasn't cohesive. That wasn't an ideal situation for young pups. And yeah, I think the confidence can grow, which it should. Now you got a young quarterback, and you guys are probably familiar with each other. You're around the same age group too, so you're probably hanging out a little bit and being more comfortable. I think it could make the world a difference, to be honest with you. But I fall back on LaFleur being able to handle all of this with these young players and making sure that they are growing together in the right way, though.
Any bets for you guys in this game? I mean, right now Chicago's a 1-point favorite. Total's at 42.
So I'm just an anti-Bear person. I tried to bet against the Bears every
week. Lombardi converted you to that anti-field stuff, huh?
Well, he's not an accurate passer. We learned that against Alabama in the national championship game. But my bigger thing is the lines are bad.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they improved enough. Plus, they were not competitive in the second half. The last 9 games last year, they only scored more than 7 points in the second half once. This team's far away. And we think they're going to go from 3 to 8 wins, right, which is suggested. So I haven't made a bet yet. Obviously, I need the Packers for my future bets. But we've seen a pretty dichotomy in the betting here where more of the seasoned professional players are on Green Bay. But this number stays at 1-1 due to the injury. But the public's all over the Bears here.
All right, so pros versus Joe's situation in the NFC North Black and Blue Division, Packers and the Bears. That is the late afternoon kickoff game, and we will be discussing that all throughout the weekend and, of course, on Monday when we go ahead and react to it as well. But we'll go through more games in the NFL card coming up here on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for college and pro games every week. Our picks page recapping all the best bets from our guests and hosts throughout the day in one convenient place. This season, we have a, quote, top VSiN experts leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the top hot hand on the dice here. And our betting splits lets you know where the money and bets are moving every game. The betting splits page is updated with the DraftKings betting data every 5 minutes. You can see changes in all the action. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the sports betting network. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out at the Circa Resort and Casino on a Friday morning, Friday afternoon for our friends over on the East Coast. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard. We're breaking down Sunday slate in the National Football League in a game that I haven't bet on, but I'm curious to get your guys' opinions on this. First is the Raiders and the Broncos, the debut for Sean Payton at head coach, and this will be the debut for Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. Right now, the line has been moving in favor of the Raiders. Right now, the Broncos are 3.5-point favorites consensus, but that 3.5 is at even money. The total is at 43.5. Gentlemen, do you guys have a wager in this one, or kind of how do you break things down in this AFC West game that will be played at altitude?
Well, you know, I'm waiting to see if this game can get 2 or 3 for Denver.
Yeah, I don't think so. I've been waiting. We're like Godot waiting for this. I don't think it's going to go to three.
So?
No, I know. I want 3.
Yeah.
Westgate is 3-120.
Okay, there you go. Okay, I need to get over there.
You know where to shop.
There we know. So there's the number. To me, that's the number. Okay, Denver and the new ownership, and you think about Denver's schedule. They have the Raiders at the beginning of the schedule and then the Raiders at the end.
Bookend it.
How about that, right? And Sean Payton, I mean, this used to be a rivalry. The Raiders have dominated the Broncos really since 2019. I don't think the Broncos have beaten the Raiders since 2019. And then we know the situation with the Chiefs too. So the Broncos are putting everything, chips to the middle of the table for this home opener. And it's a chance for the fans to see this football team. There's a little bit of optimism for the Broncos, Broncos country. And so they want to catch the Raiders right now when they feel like they're at their best. And I think Sean Payton's done a great job of receiving the players or players receiving him and understanding and has that credibility in the locker room. I think the Broncos defense will be okay. You know, they got a lot of premium players on that side of the ball. Offensively, it's all about Russell Wilson to me. Where I like the Raiders in a situation, and we'll see what happens with this number, but their vets on offense, I put them up against anybody. Mm. I mean, even with Jimmy G, because I think Davante Adams is probably the second best receiver in the league. Hunter Renfrow, you can't cover him in the phone booth when healthy. And then certainly Jacoby Myers is so familiar. And therefore, Josh McDaniels is going to be familiar with the quarterback. He was unfamiliar with Derek Carr last year. Mm-hmm. And yet they still almost had a top 10 scoring offense. Now he's familiar with a particular guy, and there's a fit and there's a comfort. And he's got that axe to grind against Denver too. So this game gets very interesting to me, but I am looking for that three if I can get it.
I look at the total here. To Pritch's point, I lean over and I'm an under player, okay. But I'm taking a look, and maybe it's hard for me to pre-flop overs, but maybe I get a feel for it. I see Jimmy G there. How much of a drop-off do you think it is from Carr to Garoppolo? Do you think it's significant?
No, it's not a drop-off. Anything, it's going to be different because Jimmy G in a red zone is a better passer, a better quarterback than Derek Carr in a red zone. Derek Carr had this reluctance to making a mistake, or he felt like he was going to make a mistake, so he had this reluctance about letting it rip. Whereas the timing of things was not there in a passing game, Jimmy G will not be that. He'll be a more efficient guy. He'll let it rip in red zone. Mm-hmm. And I think the Raiders can run the ball too.
Are you more bullish on Russell Wilson reverting to his previous form or Deshaun Watson reverting to his
previous form? That's a great question. That's a great question. I mean, I think Russell Wilson, because for Russell, all he had to do was humble himself. And Sean Payton's helped him along the way to do that, right? Who you think about it?
Stop kissing babies.
Exactly. He's called him out repeatedly. Like, who calls out their quarterback like that?
Right before the season.
Right. So Sean knew that Russell needs to humble himself. And let me help you out. Let me help you do that. And so if Russell Wilson can get back to being an efficient player, they're going to run a football. We know that. But try to avoid being plastic, or try to avoid being Russell Inc. Then they're going to be okay, because this guy is a highly efficient passer. He's a playmaker ever since college. I called a game when he was at Wisconsin, and his growth in the league was not shocked what he did in Seattle at the very beginning. But along the way, he lost himself. He did. And so Deshaun lost himself too in other ways.
Yeah.
But I think Russell can find his way back sooner than Deshaun, though, to that level.
You know, I think when I look at this game in particular, because I agree with you guys, I think from a general standpoint about these teams for the season long situation, where I like Denver season long, and like the Raiders, I'm not as high on them for the entire season. But in this spot, I like the Raiders a lot. And like I bet the Raiders – I took 4.5, but I think if you can still find a 3.5, anything north of 3, I think is a bet on the Raiders, just because oftentimes I think we expect these new coaches to come in immediately and change things, when in actuality it's more of a process, it feels like. And I think back to last year with Jacksonville when they made the switch from Urban Meyer to Doug Peterson. It's like, all right, an adult's in the room, a Super Bowl winning head coach, here we go. And the Jags got off to like, what, a 2-6 start, I believe it was. Like things were kind of taking time. I think that's what Denver's going to be like. I think early on in the season, there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period of Russell and Sean kind of trying to figure out what each other likes and what they kind of like can get on the same page with, to where in this spot, I think the Raiders are live to actually go in there and pull off an upset.
I don't know, because I think mechanically Hackett was so bad.
He was.
They couldn't get the plays in. They could never audible. Yeah. They took so many delay of game. You know, it was really just really bad.
It was
at
terrible.
That.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you get some immediate improvement off that. Another reason I like the total is, talking about elevation, you're playing at elevation. Mm-hmm. Carlson's an incredible kicker. I mean, you get to the 40s here. You're gonna convert a lot of drives into points. So I'm talking myself into making this over bet, I think.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Now, full disclosure, I do have a bet on the Raiders to make the playoffs.
Ooh.
At a
nice plus price.
I know. I was looking it up. I was looking it up right now.
I mean, what is that, like 3-1 or so? Like,
close to it. Range. Close to it. Yeah, I'll have it here in a second. Mm. Close to it. Because, like I said, I'll put the Raiders' starting group offensively against any offense in the league, and they match up. And, you know, they got to stay healthy. Jimmy G's got to stay healthy. We get that. where the Raiders need to improve is defense. Can they improve well enough defensively? They're soft in the middle. We don't know about Chandler Jones in that situation. Yeah. And the Raiders are soft in the middle defensively. So if the Broncos want to run the football and kind of control the game, which I think they're going to do short passes too, it gives them a chance to get a lead. And then that defense can make things difficult, certainly if Jimmy G on the road, a new quarterback situation, if they have some hiccups along the way. But once the Raiders start to get in phase and starts to iron out mistakes and everything like that, I think they can make a run at this in terms of making the playoffs.
Where do you stand on the Chargers?
I like the Chargers. So, yeah, I mean, the Raiders would be one of my surprise teams. The Chargers, I like the combination of Kellen Moore and Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert completed 477 passes last year. And Mike Williams, played 13 games. Keenan Allen played 10 games. Mm-hmm. If those guys can play the majority of games, I'm not going to say they're going to play all 17, but if they can play the majority of games, get close to all 17, he's going to complete kind of like Tom Brady completed 490 passes last year. So I think with Kellen Moore, the philosophy to throw the football and improve defense, Staley's up against it. I think he's on a hot seat. He's got to prove his worth right now this year. I think the Chargers can make a run at this thing, to be honest with you. I mean, they went toe-to-toe with the Chiefs last year.
What do you think of the Chargers on Sunday? 3-point favorites against Miami. Totals at 51 points are going to be expected in this game here. Do you like the Chargers laying that three?
Okay. I do. Laying it. I mean, no home field advantage, really. We know about the situation there. But I do like that. It's tough to start on a road, go across country like that. No Jalen Ramsey. We discussed this about that meniscus stuff. That's my injury. That ended my career. So we'll see if Jalen can make it back. I'm a big fan of Vic Fangio. He's familiar, certainly, with the Chargers and their personnel a little bit. But Kellen Moore is going to make a difference for this offense. And this is a healthy offense with truly three wide receivers, pass-catching tight ends, and Austin Eckler out the backfield. To me, that's going to be a lot to deal with. And then, you know, you got Tua, Tariq, and all this. I get that. But I think the Chargers, they scheme it up enough, whether it was two-man, too high safety, stuff like that, to kind of slow down Tua and that Miami offense.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to watching it. I don't have a play on this game. I think it'll be a fun game to watch here. And the Chargers have all the weapons there. Can they put it together and realize the potential, or are they going to waste this kid's career?
No, they can't. No, they can't. Right. No, you better not.
Yeah.
I want to buy the Chargers, but I think the coach is a slap.
Oh, okay.
I'm out on Staley.
Yeah.
I'm just completely out on him. Yeah. Until he proves otherwise, I can't get over that playoff game from last January. Can't do it.
Plus 375
on the Raiders? Yeah. That's a juicy ticket. It's a very juicy ticket. We'll continue to break down Sunday's slate on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Our very own Michael Lombardi has just written his second book called Football Done Right, setting the record straight on the coaches, players, and history of the NFL. Now, for a limited time, you can get a free copy of Michael's new book when you become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. Just sign up on a new VSiN Pro annual subscription today and use promo code Lombardi. Get an entire year of VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets, season prep betting guides, 24/7 video, and pro tools like our exclusive betting splits. Remember to use promo code Lombardi when you sign up for a VSiN Pro annual subscription to get your free copy of the book. This is a limited time offer, so sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe today. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard. Speaking of Michael Lombardi's book, congratulations to him with Football Done Right. Also, subscribe to his podcast, GM Shuffle Podcast. And I'm not just saying that because I host it as well alongside with Michael Lombardi.
How about the VSiN commercial for Femi? Did you see? It's just about Femi. Yeah. Catch Femi here, catch Femi there, catch Femi. That was great.
It was fantastic. I didn't send any text messages. I didn't send any emails. Yeah. It was organically and genuinely done, which I appreciate.
You don't have to explain it away. You don't, really. You don't.
I don't want people to think I'm vain out here. I was just like, oh, hey, I appreciate that. Well, as long as we can promote everything, we'll go ahead and do that. But let's talk about Lombardi's former stomping grounds. That's Foxborough, where it is Tom Brady Day on Sunday. He will be back in attendance. I'm sure the atmosphere will be electric for that. But the New England Patriots have their hands full with the defending NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles. Philly right now, a four-point favorite. Total's 44.5. There's been a little bit of push-pull in this. Got all the way down to 3.5, then went back to 4. But in my opinion, I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts. I think this is the trickiest game on the board to handicap for the entire week.
I do a lot of interviews during the course of the week in different markets, and maybe the most common question about week one is, isn't this line too short? Why are the Eagles only 4? And I said, well, it's hard to, you know, put a price on the difference of 7 starters and both coordinators. I think both coordinators is a big factor as well. And then, you know, I don't like to say because it happens, but I mean, the Super Bowl loser, we know the struggles that they've had through the years here. And this could be a tricky spot here in New England. I can't make a play on the game. You know, there's some games, you know, Gil used to ask on his podcast, what's the one game you want no part of betting? This might be that for me this week.
Yep. I agree with you. It's a stay away because there's so many unknowns with New England offensively. Injuries on the offensive line, no continuity there, really. I get it, O'Brien's back, but we didn't really see a lot of Mac Jones. And Mac, this guy was lacking poise last year in a big way. Obviously, the frustration of the coordinator situation got to him. And if he has not fixed that, if he's still lacking poise again, I don't care if O'Brien, who runs hot, by the way. I don't care if he is a new coordinator and somebody who is an upgrade over the situation that they had last year. Now, defensively, New England's going to be all that. New England's got great personnel defensively. They're going to scheme it right. Are they ready for 6 eligibles? I think Bill Belichick has been obsessed with trying to find an answer to 6 eligibles. In fact, he tried to employ that himself with Cam Newton and others, right? So I think from a personnel standpoint, he might even do that at quarterback. But Bill Belichick is obsessed on trying to limit and stop and slow down 6 eligibles. But that Eagles defense and what I've heard about that defense against the unknown of this Patriots offense, it's a stay away for me at this point.
For our audience who might not know, because we know here sitting at the desk, but when you say 6 eligibles, what do you mean by that? Just for the audience who might not be familiar with it.
Well, you play with 5 typically. The quarterback becomes that 6th eligible. And now as Jalen Hurts is, when you are 6 eligible, sometimes, a lot of times, you're not accounted for. Like, there's a free safety, but no, free safety is no longer free because he's got to occupy somebody. And so if you can use 5 offensive linemen, but then everybody else is eligible to touch the ball and be very effective with it, now you really have an advantage offensively and put pressure on the defense. I mean, who does the defense take away? We know Belichick to try to take away something, but how do you do it? And who do you take away? That's where it gets tricky. But maybe Bill Belichick came up with something in some scheme or some way to try to take away the effectiveness of a Jalen Hurts and make him a pocket passer if you can. But now you have to cover A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, right? Yeah. And Goddard. I mean, there's a lot to defend, but I think Belichick will have some type of answers to kind of slow it down. But can New England score enough on the other side, right, against that Eagles defense?
When last we saw this Eagles defense, or that version of it from last year, they couldn't get the Chiefs off the field in the second half of the Super Bowl. How much of that game, Pritch, do you account to that turf? And I mean, Michigan and TCU slid. And I talked about this for a month. That field was bad all year, and they played the Super Bowl on a bad field.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you're running forward, it's such an advantage for you offensively. And I think defensively, if you are playing on your heels, literally, then obviously you're on skates, right? You know, Patrick Mahomes was the difference maker in that game. You're going to tell me Mac Jones is going to be a difference maker? I got to see it to believe it. I got to see it to believe it. And so even with, you know, a decent offensive coordinator, but I got to see Mac Jones with poise, and I got to see him be a consistent playmaker, though.
Yeah, this is a classic stay-away game for me. Yeah. Like, I would love to bet it because it's going to be a marquee game, one of the top games on the billing. But like you mentioned with the six-eligible offense, like, what does New England do to slow that down? We saw Justin Fields in that Bears offense run up and down the field on the Patriots defense last year. Now you have Jalen Hurts, one of the best mobile quarterbacks in the league, behind that awesome offensive line. I don't know. Like, from an X's and O's standpoint, it leans towards Philly. But just from, like, an intuition and a gut sense, from a betting standpoint, I would lean toward New England. So, because we can't make up our mind, I'm going to go ahead and pass this thing. Nothing stands out to me from a betting standpoint. Let's see if anything stands out for you guys, though, in the Sunday night football game. Cowboys at the Giants. Right now, the consensus, Dallas is a 3-point favorite, 3 -120. The total is at 45. We know those division home dogs tend to be profitable early on in the season.
I'll let you talk about this. I mean, this is your team. I mean, I know you've thought about this game.
Our Cowboys correspondent or something?
Yeah, you've thought about this game more than any game on the slate.
I have. Right? As a fan of the team, I definitely have thought about this game. But I bet the Giants. I bet +3.5. Mm. Yeah, I took +3.5. Also took a little bit on the money line. I'll say this. I love Dallas this season. I think Dallas is going to be our NFC representative. But just in this spot, I think it's just a tricky situation for them. The offensive line has some issues up front there. I know Tyron Smith and both Tyler Smith have injuries that they picked up this week. Both guys are questionable, is what Jerry Jones told the radio station down there in Dallas earlier today. And aside from that, I just think that Brian Daboll, with an extended period of time, we know that Giants coaching staff is stellar. He usually is as a really good underdog kind of head coach. So to me, it feels like a field goal game either way. I like Giants +3.5 if you can get 3 in the hook right now. If you like Dallas, go ahead and lay 3 because 3s are out there. But if you like the Giants, make sure you get 3.5 because I think this is a field goal game either way, with the Giants having a chance to win it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a divisional matchup, and certainly, you know, you're going to start the season that way. If you can get the hook at home, 3.5 points, that makes sense in terms of from a betting perspective. You know, looking at this matchup, I think this Cowboys defense is going to be for real. In terms of, I'm not going to throw out stats or anything like that, but in terms of helping them win games, helping them solidify games, right? But there is a six eligible element to the Giants with Daniel Jones and, you know, Saquon. I wonder if this epiphany continues or not. We'll see. But you're right about Daboll and Shane, too, the GM up there. I think they've done a great job of turning over this roster. A big surprise team last year. Can they put it back to back and continue this year? They have the profile to be able to do that, I believe. 3.5 points at home makes sense to me from a betting standpoint.
One thing that, before you jump in here, Mike, is that Adam Schefter of ESPN just reporting about 15 minutes ago that the Giants have put Darren Waller on the injury list as questionable for the game due to a hamstring injury. So I'm assuming that happened some point at practice this week. Maybe it even happened today. But Darren
Waller,
carryover questionable
from last year. He had hamstring issues all last year, could not get on the field.
I'm not laying 3 or 3.5, but I would not take the – I don't care for your Giants money line bet. I would be very surprised if they won this game.
You'd be surprised.
I'm with Pritch here. I think the Dallas defense – I don't think the Giants get to 20 in this game. I think that defense is for real. And unless Dallas turns the ball over 2-plus times, I don't think they're losing this game. I think – there's a clear talent advantage on these two squads.
I agree with that point, but with the O-line injuries that Dallas now has, which popped up this week, if Dak gets under pressure, I mean, last year he was prone to making a lot of mistakes under pressure, turning the football over. But I just think that in this spot, Daboll, what he can do as a head coach, Wink Martindale, defensive coordinator, Mike Kafka, I think that's a really good coaching staff to where in this spot, I think they can get those guys up for this game and play it closer than the market thinks.
Well, I will say this. McCarthy taking over as a play caller, and Dax kind of alluded to this. It's all about his footwork, and that's going to dictate where he goes with the football. He's not going to be under pressure like he was last year to try to get the ball to the right place at the right time and all that. The timing of the play, the rhythm of the play, that's what McCarthy wants to install, and his footwork's going to help him be able to do that, take care of the football a little bit more. It should, in theory, right?
Yeah, in theory it should. We'll see what happens in reality.
You just want to cover the 3.5. You don't want your Cowboys to lose on Sunday night. I hope it's a very small money line bet.
It's a small money line bet.
It's an emotional hedge.
I thought numerically it also made sense as well. So Cowboys by 3. Hopefully that's the result that we see Sunday night. We'll get to the best of the rest and wrap up the show on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Can you believe we've had 7 months without an NFL game? Well, that ended last night, but it's been a good time, though. Good thing that that's over, because the NFL is here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, which is giving you a can't-miss offer for week one. This week, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game. Download now and use code VEGAS to sign up. New customers can take home $200 in bonus bets instantly just for betting $5. That's code VEGAS, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino. Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here on this Football Friday. Coming up after us on VSiN, the sports betting analysis will always continue. It will be Sharp Money, but then on the DraftKings Network, it'll be Pablo Torre. So make sure you stick around for both of those. Go ahead and do two screens and go ahead and watch both programs if you so choose. Before we go any further, gentlemen, let's give out our pro tip here for the show. And this is something that we do on VSiN, all of our shows across the network. Here you can get a pro tip to help you become a better. And our pro tip, Mike, comes from college football. And it's something that you said earlier in the show about the transfer portal adding a little bit of uncertainty to the handicapping.
Yeah, I think you have to consider lowering your standard wager, whatever that is, on a college football game based on the uncertainty that's created by the transfer portal. I think what typically we've seen, we're saying a first-year head coach in a new place you would take off against, and all these new players in a new place. We don't really understand that yet because we've never seen this free agency in college football, as Coach Prime called it, as Solomon Wilcott's detailed anticipating this. So for me, I'm doing about a third to 40% of what I would normally do until I have a better feel for these teams, or maybe till they get into conference play.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. My biggest bets in college football have occurred in the same matchup. Last year, first half, against TCU, even though that was a horrible roster. Mm-hmm. And then there's some optimism about the Buffs this year, but the first half number, 11 plus 11 and a half, it was too intriguing. So I went large for those bets. But I'm like you, I'll dial everything down. I mean, The thing about college football and free agency is fit. It really is. I mean, think about Bo Nix and how terrible he was at Auburn.
Yeah.
But now at Oregon, it's like, wait a minute, this guy could be a player on Sunday.
Yeah. Heisman contender.
Yeah.
He looked good against that high school team.
Sure. I thought right. Yeah.
81 points.
Yeah, I know.
700 yards of offense.
Sure. I know. Crazy, right? But no, it's so much about confidence, but it's the growth of that college athlete that they might be a five-star when they go in, but they're a two-star when they come out, or they might be a two-star when they get in, and then all of a sudden they're you know, a number one draft choice. So there's so much movement right there, but I agree with Mike, you know, dial it down a little bit early on in the season.
Yeah. I think that can be an evergreen sort of pro tip as well. Mm-hmm. Like, just wager responsibly, because we want to be here, not just for a good time, but for a long time as well with our bankroll. So as always, make sure if you're a little bit of uncertainty, just dial it down just a touch. Let's dial it down. Let's get to, though, the best of the rest on Sunday's slate. And we can kind of go rapid fire with a lot of these and give some of our thoughts here. If you have a survivor thought with one of the games, please share. If you have a millions thought, please share as well. But we'll go to the top of the rotation number here. Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, Atlanta is a 3.5-point favorite, total 39.5. The Panthers have ruled out DJ Chark. Adam Thielen is questionable, dealing with an injury in this game as well. So it could be tough sledding for Bryce Young, the first overall pick, making his NFL regular season debut.
By the way, I think there's value with Bryce Young for offensive rookie of the year. He's going to start 17 games.
Yeah, I bet.
And Bijan's in the backfield where he's not going to get all the carries. I think this is a sneaky survivor play as well with the Falcons going against this trend of I'm so sorry. I didn't ask you to review, but yeah, 2002 David Carr. The last time this happened, they won a game. So I'm not sure how many people are going to lay 3.5 on this game. This number hasn't really budged off of that in the last 3 or 4 days. But it might be a survivor play. I'll just watch it to get some interest on Young here.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, Frank Reich, he's so different than Wilkes as a coach, and he's so analytical about everything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the makeup of the Carolina Panthers is analytical. I want to see how this meshes. I want to see what it looks like. I think Atlanta has a great chance to really come out the gate strong. People have been sleeping on Ritter, I believe, from what I get some good emails from my alumni. I'm an alumni. I get some good emails from Atlanta, Seattle, and Denver at this point. But I'm not going to lay 3.5, though. I, you know, divisional matchups early on, I don't want to lay a hook in this game. But I do like Atlanta on the side, though.
Yeah. Barring the unforeseen, I think the Falcons are going to be my survivor.
You think the Falcons will win this division?
Yeah, yep. I do. I think worst to first. I mean, they're 7-10 yeah. last year, right? Yeah. Can they flip that? I think they can. Absolutely.
I'm holding out hope for Carolina. Maybe the second half they can have a surge, but we'll see. That offensive line looked bad in the preseason. Another rookie quarterback making his debut, that's Houston Texans' second overall pick, C.J. Stroud. He is a 9.5-point underdog in Baltimore. The total is at 43.5, but that has come down, though. It was 10 earlier this week, now 9.5, so some interest here on the Texans.
I'm shocked that Lamar is still there. I really, really believed in my heart he didn't go to the playoff game. That relationship was done. They got rid of Greg Roman, the best offensive coordinator ever at Absecon High School in New Jersey, who had an effective running game with Lamar, and brought in Todd Monken, whose groups are tight ends and wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Well, Lamar really can only pass to the center of the field. I don't know if this is a mesh. My question to you, Pritch, is did they hire the wrong Monken? Did they brought the brother Jack in and install the wishbone? It's like, watch, I'm serious.
No,
I don't get it.
No, it's a unique situation. Yeah. Lamar Jackson is when he throws the ball, I said this before, when he throws the ball, he's throwing it to a lesser athlete. Even with Odell there, when he's handing the ball off, he's handing the ball off to a lesser athlete. Yeah. But he wants to be a pocket passer. He wants to be that guy. And this is crazy to me, because if Arthur Blank did not say what he said to kind of limit the options for Lamar, maybe Lamar's in Atlanta. And we're talking about the Falcons differently, right?
They might be the third choice in the NFC.
If he was in Atlanta, I'd bet them to win the NFC.
Yeah, yeah. Just from a betting standpoint, this line's coming down. Oh, Baltimore was 1-6 ATS last year as a home favorite. Lamar Jackson did not get any run in the preseason. There's a little bit of unknown here, working with the new coordinator too, in the face of adversity. I love the roster. I love all the first-round wide receivers that they have. Yeah. But their bread and butter is running the football, controlling it. And then defensively, they're going to make things tough on Houston. Can they cover 9.5, though? That's a bet I don't want. Even when it was at 10, I didn't want it. And now you see it come down. So it's a stay away from me early on in the season with a number like that. Now, Survivor, that's different, obviously, though. Mm.
Well, Pritch, let's see if you want this bet. The Jacksonville Jaguars are laying 5 on the road against Anthony Richardson, making his NFL regular season debut. The Colts home dogs in this spot here. Shane Steichen, first-year head coach, of course. Totals at 46.5. Would you lay it with Jacksonville, or do you plug the nose and take Indy?
No, I wouldn't even plug the nose. I'm looking at Indy right now, to be honest with you, because I think
he smiles and takes Indy.
Yeah, there's an unknown right. with Anthony Richardson and preparation. And it's no different than Lamar. We talked about 6 eligibles before. Jacksonville, you know, offensively, they're going to score some points. You know, now on the other side, Gus Bradley, some continuity with that defense. The linebacker, Shaquille, he's going to be available, right? Passes protocol. That's going to be different for that defense. And so, I think for AR, there's an unknown there. And I know he's a young quarterback. I know he's going to make some mistakes. But that game becomes easier for Shane Steichen to call it, and certainly for Anthony Richardson to run it with this fit that I think he's a better athlete than Jalen Hurts. Now, can he throw the ball? We'll see. But certainly the unknown is on the side of Indy, though, offensively.
Jaguars are an enigma to me. They almost lost to Joshua Dobbs in an elimination game, and yet we're a 97-yard Chad Henne drive away from being in the AFC Championship game. So it's hard for me to evaluate them. This is be an interesting game, mostly to see where the Colts are at early in the year.
Bucks and the Vikings. The betting market is going aggressively against Minnesota here. This was 6 earlier in the week. Now it's down to 5 in some spots. 5.5, though, is the consensus. Total is at 46. Do you think Tampa is sneaky live in this one, Mike?
I would not use the Vikings in Survivor. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not betting on this game. I think there's a risk factor here. I think this could be the upset of the weekend. And so I would stay away. If I had 10 Survivor entries, I'm not using a one of them here, and I would probably split them two ways, but not considering this game, actually.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that either. I mean, Baker, for what he is right now, was his fourth team, I think, right? he does have some magic in certain areas of the game. There's some matchup advantages, too, for Tampa that you like a little bit in this game. I think Minnesota's quietly turning over their roster. Kirk Cousins, this is probably going to be his last season there. But I do like the comfort of Addison, and you know Justin Jefferson is all that too. But will Minnesota be able to run the football? I got big question marks about that. They're 11 personnel team. They want to throw at Kirk Cousins. He's a tough quarterback, but he's not built to be tough, if you know what I mean. He's a good hit can really do some things, some damage to Kirk. Yeah. So I'm a little cautious about that.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how the game plays out on Sunday. That does it for us here. Thank you to Solomon Wilcott to join us earlier. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN. Coming up on the DraftKings Network is Pablo Torre. But here at VSiN, Sharp Money is coming up next here on the Sports Betting Network.